Excuse me. The call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Right. Excuse me, Tim Marie.
Alex, can we just check that the audio cast is on?
Yes, I'm checking right now. One sec.
Excuse me, Wolf Alban joined?
It does work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So can I start?
Okay, Stefan, would you like me to do a roll call?
Yes, please, Glenn.
Pleasure. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning to everyone, too, because it's 5 a.m. for Rafik. This is a council call on the 9th of June, and on the call we have Jeff Newman, Jonathan Robinson, Ching Chow has not yet joined, Adrian Kinderis has not yet joined, Tim Ruiz has, yes. Stefan van Gelder, Andre Koleshnikov, and for the non-contracted parties house, we have Zaid Jamil, John Berard, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, are you on the line? Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Jamie Wagner, Rafik Damak, Bill Drake, Debbie Hughes, Rosemary St. Clair, Wendy Sasser, and Carlos Aguirre. Carlos, are you on the line?
Yeah, Glenn, I am here.
Okay, thank you. And we have apologies from Mary Wong, who has given her proxy to Rafik Damak, and we have apologies from Olga Cavelli, who has given her proxy to Carlos Aguirre. For staff, we have Margie Marlam, Alex Kulik, Liz Gaster, Julie Headland, Marika Koenix, Rob Hogarth, and I see on the Adobe Connect, we have David Olive, and David Taylor is also on the Adobe Connect, so I suppose he will be joining. Also, we have Dan Halloran from staff, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gerie. Have I left off anybody? Thank you, Stefan. Over to you. One more thing, Stefan. We have apologies from Craig Schwartz, who wanted to be on this call, but he is unable to, and he has asked us that if there are any questions on the AGP that's just been published, please to address them to him, and he will answer them by email. Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Glenn. Welcome to you all. Welcome to this June the 9th council meeting. Let's just start by checking if there are any updates to statement of interests from anyone. I don't think we've received any, have we, Glenn? But if anybody wants to make one now, please speak up.
No, we have not received any, Stefan.
Okay. On the agenda itself, we are going to amend it slightly. We have a councillor that needs to leave early and has requested for items 3, 4, and 5 to be moved up because they all contain votes. So apologies to you, Rosemary. You were going to cover item 2 for us. I hope it's no inconvenience to you if we move that back a couple of agenda items down the agenda. Is that okay?
Yes, Stefan, I'm here for the whole call, so no problem.
Thank you very much for that. So does anyone else want to ask for any changes to the agenda? Okay. The minutes of the previous meeting were approved a few days ago on June the 6th, and you have a link on the agenda there for those minutes. And just on a general note, I will say that as you all, I'm sure, are very aware, this schedule is a bit strange. We are having a meeting tonight. It's only 2 weeks before our open council meeting. We probably should have looked at that schedule a little bit more carefully, so apologies from the council leadership team on that. Maybe we dropped the ball a bit there, but So we will be having an open council meeting in 2 weeks. We have very little time, not enough time, I don't think, to prepare the agenda and send it to you guys in advance of Singapore. Most of us will be leaving in a few days, so bear with us. We will be preparing an agenda, but it may not be ready until we get to Singapore. And apologies for that once again. Any further comments on agenda item one? Hearing none, let's move to agenda item three and our first motion of the evening. This is a motion looking at the Who is Registrant Identification Study. And before we start discussion on this, I would like to ask Jonathan Robinson, who made the motion, to read it if possible. And I'll just point out that Adrian Kindris has joined the call. He just signaled me to say that he's on the line. So welcome, Adrian, and Jonathan, please take it away. Jonathan, are you there? Oh, Jonathan has just hung up.
He's been disconnected.
Yeah, so he'll join in a minute. Let me, he's dialing back in. In the interest of time, let me just read the motion in his stead. I'm sure you'll all forgive that slight hitch up in protocol, but we'll just try and make up some time there. So whereas in October 2007, the GNSO Council concluded that a comprehensive and objective understanding of key factual issues regarding the GTLD WHOIS system would benefit future GNSO policy development efforts. On 4th of March 2009, the GNSO Council requested staff conduct research on feasibility and cost estimates for selected WHOIS studies and report its findings to the Council. And there's a link to a motion there. On March the 23rd, 2010, staff presented a report on the feasibility and cost estimates for WHOIS Registrant Identification Study, finding that the study would cost approximately $150,000 and take approximately 1 year to complete. There's a link there to that report. This exploratory study would examine WHOIS data for a representative sample of GTLD domain names to classify the types of entities that register domains, including natural persons, various kinds of legal persons, and privacy and proxy service providers. On April the 28th, 2011, the Council deferred consideration of the WHOIS Registrant Identification Study until this meeting today and requested that at any applicable motions in that regard be submitted no later than June the 1st. On May the 20th, 2011, a volunteer WHOIS study group submitted to the Council a revised WHOIS Registrant Identification Study Terms of Reference. There's a link provided. And there's a link also to supporting rationale and summary of changes. And so the results clause reads, the Council requests that ICANN staff proceed with the WHOIS Registrant Identification Study as set forth in the revised terms of reference, link provided. Further resolved, the Council asks staff to report back to the Council if the original estimate for the study of $150,000 is exceeded by more than 20%. Further resolved, in recognition of the substantial amount of coordination needed to direct the research, that staff be given the discretion to manage this study serially or in parallel with the other WHOIS studies, with a goal of expediting completion of all the studies as efficiently as possible. So that's the motion. Jonathan's back on. Jonathan, is there anything you'd like to add as maker of this motion?
Well, thanks, Stefan. That's fine. That's covered. I think, except to really, I guess, acknowledge that it was quite a lot of hard work done by the sort of the drafting team who made the effort to sort of revisit all of this and get it in shape. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion, comments, questions? You can either use Adobe to put your hand up or speak.
Liz, this is Jamie Wagner. Is Liz in the call?
Yes, I am.
I would like some comments on the from your part.
Oh, sure. Yes, I do think what the little group basically did is change the content of exactly what the study would look at, but the approach that the study would take. Rather than trying to focus in and prove a hypothesis, which is the tack taken with most of the other studies, this was altered by this little working group to make it more of a open-ended fact-finding study without trying to prove any hypothesis whatsoever. That's really one significant change that was made. And along with that open-endedness in the approach, it also leaves some of the categorization about, for example, specifically where it says in the resolution that it's going to classify the types of entities that register domains, including natural persons, various kinds of legal persons, and proxy and privacy service providers. It's going to leave open some of the classifications of the legal persons, some flexibility there, and classify as the research entity does the analysis so as not to draw any conclusions prematurely about the classification categories. So to me, these changes are make a lot of sense. They make it, in a sense, a more neutral-based study without taking away any of the goals that were intended by the study itself. And this study not only was put forward by several in the community who proposed it, but also relates back to several different proposals that the GAC originally made. And so it's quite consistent, I think, with what the GAC intended in its proposals as well.
Okay, thank you very
questions,
much.
I'm happy to answer, but I hope those comments are helpful, Jamie.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Jamie. Wendy's next.
Thanks. So I have had various concerns with earlier versions of this study, which are largely but not completely addressed by the changes. And so I recognize that there's lots of interest in this differentiating among types of registrants and types of uses of domains. I continue to think that ICANN has zero business in regulating what is done with a domain, the content that's posted on a domain as distinct from the registration of the domain. So I appreciate that the study is now not drawing conclusions about whether uses are commercial or non-commercial or who and how is using a domain, because I think earlier versions veered too close to saying some uses are better than others or some uses are more appropriate than others. Collecting information is fine, but we need to be very careful about what we do with that information once it's collected. I wonder whether we will be able to get the granularity of data that's being described here, but I guess that's a wait for questions and see what is offered in the bidding phase.
Wendy, am I right in thinking that's more of a comment than a question? You're right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Liz, I see you want to. You probably want to respond, but can I ask that we go through the list and get all your responses in one go?
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks. Christina?
I have a comment, so if someone else has a question, I'm happy to defer to them and have you come back.
There's no further questions that I can see. Please go ahead.
Okay. Just that the IPC plans to support this motion. We do, however, have some concerns about some of the phrasing and definitions within the terms of reference. And would just like to note that we would be reluctant to have some of these same categorizations and definitions kind of adopted wholesale and replicated as things tend to do in the ICANN community. If someone's already come up with a definition for X, we'll just continue to use that definition, even if it may not have been correct in the first place. So rather than get into amending and changing particular sentences and the like, which doesn't seem to be a very productive use of time at this point, we just wanted to make that observation for the record.
Thank you, Christina. Tim.
Also just a comment, since registrar representatives won't be supporting the motion, I think we've explained it a number of times, so there's probably no need to go into any detail, but just that we feel the studies aren't really necessary and are not likely to move things along as far as creating any kind of consensus on the issues. So I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Tim. Liz, did you want to come back? I don't have any other hands up, so...
Well, why don't I just quickly say to Wendy's concerns, you know, that some of that definitely was discussed by the group, and one thing that was changed in the concept of categorization that might be of some comfort to you is that we started out with categories sort of focused around purposes of registrations and shifted, you know, completely away from that to activities, you know, if a domain name resolves to a site. So, you know, again, more fact-based than conclusory, which at least might allay some of that concern. And then just to Christina's point, you know, anything, any suggestions or phrasing that you have concerns about, you know, I'd still be interested in identifying those and understanding them and, you know, responding in any way. If that's helpful. So even though you're, you know, proceeding, I'm happy to take a look at whatever the concern is, and, you know, we can discuss that too. Thanks.
Thanks, Liz. Seeing no other questions, any other questions or comments? Okay. In which case, let's proceed to the vote. Is anyone opposed to us doing a voice vote on this?
Yeah, this is Tim. I would prefer a roll call vote.
Okay. Glenn, could you please do a roll call vote on this motion, please?
I will indeed, Stefan. Christina Rosette?
Yeah.
Rafik Demet? Rafik,
no.
Are you there?
Yes, but I vote no.
No. Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Stephen Van... Ching Chou?
Yes.
Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes.
Stefan Van Gelder?
No.
Zahid Jamil?
Yes.
Bob Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
Wendy Salsa? Wendy?
Sorry, that was a no. But
no.
It was a no the first time.
Sorry. Mary Wong? Rafik, can you please vote for Mary Wong?
Yes.
Your vote for Mary is yes? Is that right, Rafik?
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
Yes.
John Berard?
Yes.
Deborah Hughes?
Yes.
William Drake?
No.
David Taylor?
Yes.
And for Olga Cavelli, Carlos, will you please vote?
My vote is no.
Thank you. Have I called out every... No, Adrian Kindris.
I thought you forgot me, Glenn.
No, I didn't.
The answer is... my vote is no.
Thank you. Now, I should have called everybody.
You've got a bit of working out to do, Glenn, I think. Just give Glenn 5 seconds to work that vote out.
In the contracted party house, we have got 4 yes and 3 no. In the non-contracted party house, we have got 9 yes votes. And we have got 4 no votes. So that makes a tally of 13 and 7 for the contracted party house.
Thank you. So the motion passes, I believe?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And we shall now move on to item 4, which is an item related to the GNSO improvements and more specifically the policy development process work team. The work team has presented its final report, and we have a motion which was made by Jeff Newman, which I will ask Jeff to read out now before we start discussing the motion.
Okay, and would you like the whole thing read out or just the resolved clauses?
It is more helpful for people who don't have the text in front of them to read out the whole thing. You speak quickly anyway, so.
All right, I'll do my best then. Okay, motion 3, to acknowledge the receipt of the policy development process work team final report and initiate a public comment period. Whereas in October 2008, the GNSO Council established a framework, the GNSO Council Implementation Plan. Everyone there still?
Yeah, there's some interference, but we are hearing you. Carry on.
Okay. For implementing the various GNSO improvements identified and approved by the ICANN Board of Directors on 26 June 2008, whereas that framework included the formation in January 2009 of 2 steering committees, the Operations Steering Committee, OSC, and the Policy Process Steering Committee, to charter and coordinate the efforts of 5 community work teams in developing specific recommendations to implement the improvements, whereas the PPSC established 2 work teams, including the Policy Development Process Work Team, which was chartered to develop a new policy development process that incorporates a working group approach and makes it more effective and responses to ICANN's policy development needs, whereas the GNSO Council decided to terminate the PPSC on April 28, 2011, and instructed the PDP work team to deliver its final report directly to the GNSO Council, whereas the PDP work team submitted its final report on May 31, 2011, to the GNSO Council. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council acknowledges receipt of the PDP work team final report as delivered by the PDP work team, and directs ICANN staff to commence a 30-day public comment period on this final report. Resolve further that the GNSO Council shall take action on the PDP work team final report as soon as possible after the end of the public comment period. Resolve further that the GNSO Council recommends that a concise summary of the new policy development process be drafted by ICANN staff following approval of a new PDP by the ICANN board in order to serve as a primer to the new Annex A of the ICANN bylaws and PDP manual or potential PDPWG members.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions, comments? And we have Christina.
What I'm not clear on is what exactly the process will be for acting on any comments or concerns that are raised on the final report in the public comment period. I don't know who's doing that. It's not clear to me whether that's staff. It's not clear to me whether that's going to be the work team's going to be reconstituted. Some clarification on that point would be helpful.
This is a question on the report and not the motion, right?
Correct.
Can I need to reboot my computer, so I'm not going to be online for a sec, but I can answer, or I can try to answer that.
Please do.
So I think the answer is that, it's going to be up to the council once it gets all the comments, either to just attach the comments to the end of the report or to send that back to the working group work team to figure out, another option is the council could approve it and then send a couple of the issues to the standing, the SIC committee, the Structural Improvements Committee, to handle those issues if more work needs to be done. So I think there's a variety of different ways in which we can handle that.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Is anyone opposed to us doing a voice vote on this? Glenn, please proceed with a voice vote.
I will indeed, Stefan. All those in favor of the motion, please say A.
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 All those against the motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Thank you, Stefan. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And we'll move on to item 5, which is the joint SOSE working group on new GTLD applicant support. The group has produced a second milestone report. That report was sent to the council by the group for consideration, and we did have a motion at our previous meeting with regards to this. That meeting was on May the 19th. There was a request for deferral. We have, as is our practice in these matters, honored that request, so we are considering that motion tonight. And before we go to discuss the motion, I would like to ask the maker of the motion, Rafiq Damak, to read it if possible.
Okay. Whereas the GNSO Council in Dalak established the joint SO AC working group, just working group in support of the new GTLD applicant in April of 2010, and the working group revisited its milestone report posted for consideration by the board, charting organization, and at-large community. This report documented the completion of work as defined in the original charter, and requested an update onto the working group charter, and the GNSO and DALAC separately renewed the working group charter with additional work item in February 2011, and the joint SO AC working group received and discussed the public comment, and the joint SO AC working group has completed the work as defined in its extended charter and published a second milestone report link on 8th May 2011, covering these chartered items link entitled JAS Milestone Report. And the GNSO Council does not wish to delay the start of the new GTLD application process. The GNSO Council does not wish to delay implementation of support program for applicants from developing regions. resolved. The GNSO Council thanks the members of the Joint SOIC Working Group for its effort and its dedication to completing the work on such tight schedule, and the GNSO Council requests that the report to put out for community review as soon as possible, and the GNSO Council forwards the second chat milestone report to the ICANN board for informational purposes to demonstrate the progress made by the JAS working group so that it may refer to that progress in their discussion with the GAG. The GNSO Council requests that ICANN staff begin assessing the whatever the recommendations are implementable, and the JAS working group continues working to deal with any issues that may arise in the upcoming review by the community, and that the JAS working group publish their final report after the review process resolved further, that the GNSO Council instructs the GNSO Chair to communicate its decision to the ALAG Chair.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. And before I open it up for discussion, I just want to thank you. I know it's this group is a hell of a lot of work, and I know it's not always easy. So I just want to thank you for the work you are doing as co-chair and GNSO Council liaison to the group. And with that, I will open it up for discussion. Are there any questions or comments? I will also, point out that the motion that we have in front of us is one that is the result of an amendment that was proposed by Jeff Newman and accepted by both Rafiq and Andre as maker and seconder of the motion. Does anyone want to ask any questions or make any comments? Okay, there doesn't seem to be any.
Stefan, it's Adrian. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, please do, Adrian.
I don't think I'm still overly happy with the way this whole thing has been conducted, but I intend to vote yes today. I also just wanted to bring up the fact that the council should know that this is not the only avenue for options for the board with respect to support for needy applicants. I think that Bruce Tonkin, for example, has floated an option. Sorry, it's very early in the morning here. I'm still getting together. That option, at least in my brief discussions with him, centred around the establishment of a foundation by ICANN and the opportunity for needy applicants to apply to that foundation to get complete support at times, depending on their requirements. Now, this foundation is in its embryonic stages of being scoped out and everything else. I expect you'll hear more about it over the coming days. But there are alternatives out there, I think, if anything, the JAS Working Group has spawned thoughts around how others could participate outside of the working group after seeing the work. So in one way, that's a good thing. So I just wanted to illuminate the rest of the council that there are other initiatives going on, and that those that are waiting for new GTLDs, that this isn't the only avenue that we're potentially going down with respect to fulfilling the requirement from the board for needy applicant support. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making that point, Adrian. While everyone else is thinking whether they'd like to ask a question, let me just point out that Marika has provided a link in the chat where we can, if you need to, you can see the original motion and the changes as shown as compared to that original motion. So thanks, Marika, for doing that. Jeff, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place to raise it, but I'm still trying to make heads or tails of the new working group or a new group session, I guess, that Kateem is setting up for the board and the meeting at Singapore, and what this has to do, if anything, with support for developing countries for new GTLDs, or whether that's totally outside, you know, whether Kateem's process is completely outside of this. And there's just so many emails going back and forth. Is there someone that can straighten out what's going on?
I don't know if anyone can help specifically with what Katim wants to do, you've seen the discussion that I've been having with Katim around that subject. Others have weighed in as well. Bill has provided several useful suggestions there. The current situation is that the meeting, I'm happy to say, will not conflict with our weekend sessions. So that's one thing. As to whether the meeting is directly linked to what the Jazz Working Group is doing, perhaps Rafiq is better qualified to answer that. And as you have your hand up, Rafiq, probably want to.
Thanks, Stefan. So I just want to clarify. I think Jeff is asking about the event that Katim wants to organize for Wednesday during the ICANN meeting in Singapore. If yes, it's not linked to the Jazz Working Group. I think it has more broad scope. It's about developing countries and more involvement of developing countries in ICANN regarding many topics, but it's not related to the working group.
Thank you. Is that useful for you, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I might be confusing with there's also a call that's being set up for, is it next week, that's being set up by the ALAC with the Jazz Group and the board, and the GNSO is invited. Just a little, what's going, maybe that's what I really meant to ask about.
So those are two different things. There is a call, Rafiq, you will correct me if I'm wrong. There is a call planned that's been initiated by ALAC, and you've seen comments from me on the list. The call, as I understand it, is to help those interested from the board and the GAC to help them ask questions of the Jazz Group. Is that correct, Rafiq?
Yes, sir. So it's mostly an opportunity for the working group to listen to the questions from some GAC and board members. So some, as I said, and for the Jazz Working Group, we didn't handle the organization of that goal. It was mostly our sharding organization doing that.
Thank you. And just to be clear, we've also had these questions on the list. The group is working to a third milestone report and a final report. Is that correct?
I think it's the third time to reply to that. We are not working in the third milestone report. As I said, saying it again, we are working to finish the remaining items in our shelters, as approved by our shorting organization. And I think that it's clear in the motion that we'll publish our final report after the review process.
Okay, well, apologies for not getting that clear. So I was probably right to ask the question again because it still wasn't clear for me that there wasn't a third milestone report and that we're working towards a final report. So thank you for making that clear. I thought I saw some hands up. They've gone down again. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? In that case, hearing none, is anyone opposed to us doing a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, could you please do a voice vote on this motion?
All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
Hey.
All those against the motion, please say nay. Is there anyone abstaining from the motion? The motion passes unanimously. Stefan?
Thank you very much, Glenn, for helping out with that. And with that being done, we will now go back to item two, and this is the item, I'm sure you'll remember, the Cartagena Board Resolution on Consumer Choice, Competition and Innovation. This is something that we've been working on for a while. Rosemary Sinclair has been heavily involved in this and is ready to give the Council an update on the work, I believe.
Thanks, Stefan, and thanks, everybody. I thought it might be useful if I just do a very short recap. I think this first came up in discussion at Cartagena, and then in January this year, we found ourselves with a request from the board, which is referred to in the agenda. At that time, there was, of course, a lot on our agenda, and indeed, the board found that there was a lot on their agenda. So rather than pressing forward with a quick response for San Francisco, this work has taken more time, and I think that's a good thing. Where we're at now is planning a workshop for the Singapore meeting, where we get a chance to discuss the topics. The objective of the workshop is to discuss the work that would be required by ICANN in respect of the AOC commitments. There's a general one, 3C, to promote competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the DNS marketplace. And then there's a very specific one, which was the core of this discussion, and that is at 9.3, after the first year of the GTLDs, to examine the extent to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. So the topics I'm proposing for the workshop discussion are firstly definitions. And these are definitions within the ICANN context, so not broad definitions of what we mean by competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice, but what we mean by those in the context of ICANN's focus on the DNS. The second general topic would be to discuss possible metrics for those topics, competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. And the third topic would be to discuss measurement tools with a view to trying to understand what is currently available. Are there things that we are doing now that would enable us to measure progress against these topics? If there are, can we use them for this purpose? If there aren't, what might need to be developed? Pardon me. After that discussion, I'd like to ask all those people who have previously volunteered to be part of this work to assist in scoping out the next steps. So from that workshop, what is it that we would want to do and what is it that we might want ICANN staff to do? So That's where I'm at with that. I've been back to most of the volunteer group, with the exception, and this is with my apologies, Wendy Seltzer. So I apologise about that, but I'll send the information pardon me, to Wendy. I've been asking for people to volunteer to participate in discussion at the workshop in Singapore. So that's really the end of my update, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. Are there any questions for Rosemary at this stage? And this work that's obviously still very much ongoing, I'd included it as part of our regular pending projects item, agenda item, and it's very clear that at this stage we still have a lot of work to do on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments? Wendy?
Yes, I look forward to seeing whatever has been discussed with the group prior to the workshop. Thanks.
Thank you. John?
Hey, Rosemary, this is John. As you proceed down this path to help
put together our response. Have you gotten in touch? Do you know what the other elements, that the other groups that have been asked by the board to comment, where they are in their process?
I don't, although I have asked ALAC to participate in the workshop with us. So I'm seeing the workshop as a way of getting us all around a table, John. And I'm hoping that CSG will offer to participate in the workshop. I've seen the background paper on your position. So being in the discussion at Singapore would be the next most helpful thing, I think.
Well, we certainly we had previous discussion about this, and I have been encouraged to enthusiastically offer our support.
So I take that as a yes.
Yes, Rosemary.
Okay, thank you.
You have my number. Feel free to use it.
Thank you.
Thanks to you both. Rosemary, can you just remind everybody when that workshop is, so everybody knows exactly.
Goodness me, that is on Wednesday, the 22nd, 12:30 to 1400.
So just before the Open Council meeting, folks.
That's right.
If you want to participate in that, Jeff.
Yeah, I was just from my recollection. Is there a registry that's being asked for the workshop?
Gosh, let me just have a look. I think I, no, I mean, I would like, yes, Jeff, in fact, I thought I'd sent this email to you.
I don't recall seeing that, I'm sorry. I think Jonathan had volunteered.
Okay, I included Jeff and Tim on the basis of the previous volunteer group list. Perhaps I resend it.
That would be great, and I'll get together with the other registries and to see who'd want to do it.
Terrific. That'd be great.
Thank you.
Wendy. Sorry, Jeff.
I just said thank you.
Okay, sorry. Wendy, I'm unclear what your latest statement means in the chat. Is it referring to this or to something else about...
So I'm a bit puzzled at what I volunteered for, because I thought I had been volunteering to be part of the discussion, including discussion of the work that would go into making the decisions. And if a workshop were being planned, I would have been eager to have some part in the discussion of that workshop, or to say, I don't have time to be part of that discussion. Hearing nothing until now. I'm puzzled.
Can I respond to that, Stefan?
Yes, please do, Rosemary.
You're right to be puzzled, Wendy. It was a complete oversight by me to not include you in this email that I sent out on the 6th of June. I apologize for that, and I'll send it to you as soon as this call is finished. And I think you'll see that there's still opportunity if you have time to participate in the planning of the workshop. That would be great.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I accept the, certainly accept the possibilities of oversight like that.
Thanks to you both. Any further discussion? Jeff, is your hand still up?
No, I'm sorry. I got to take it down.
Any further comments? Okay, so the next steps on this are the workshop that we've just mentioned. And please participate if you can, and if you want to know more about what's happening within this group. Tim's asking if he got the email, so Rosemary, you may want to, it seems a few people missed it or were missed, you may want to resend if you can.
Yes, I might resend through Glenn if that's okay, because Tim was on the email list as well. So I might resend this email to Glenn and ask her to just make sure it gets to everyone who's expressed an interest.
Yeah, that might be useful. Liz is telling us the group doesn't have an email list currently, so perhaps one should be set up for the group. Would that be helpful to you, Rosemary?
That would be very helpful, Stefan.
Glenn, if you could arrange that, please.
I'll do that, Stefan.
Thank you very much. Great. Okay. Any further comments? Okay, and just as a last agenda item on this specific pending projects thing, I thought I'd add a new agenda item or sub item here, which is 2.4 on your agendas, which is just me pointing out what has changed since the last time on the pending projects list. It's a list that the council leadership and staff review before every meeting. It's a list that's extremely useful to us, certainly, and I'm sure to all of you, to follow the work that we're doing. But it's also, I thought it would be useful. I don't know how this will go. This really is a test, but I thought it might be useful just to put down on the agenda. I'm not going to read through it because it's all there, but to put down on the agenda every time we draft it, what items we have removed and what items we have added. In other words, the major changes since the last time, hopefully with the aim of showing how much progress we're doing, but obviously we will have items going off the list, but we will also have items being added to the list, one hopes anyway, as we take on new tasks. So there's that sub-item 2.4. I hope it's useful. If it's not, let me know. If it is, let me know. If you'd like changes to it, let me know. And if there are no further comments on that, then I will simply work to continue having that item on the agenda going forwards. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, let's go to item 6, which is community working groups. And this is another one that we have discussed often in the past few weeks and months. We have a group of people together who have got together on this to have a look at, in closer detail, at drafting a few topics of for discussion on this. So, and Jonathan Robinson has kindly volunteered to lead the drafting team and to provide the council with an update on their work at this meeting. So, Jonathan, if you can do that, please.
Thanks, Stefan. I don't think it's going to be too long. Let me just say, I guess, firstly, that the context, as I'm sure all of you are familiar with it, but just to make absolutely certain, I'd love any comment, feedback, or any sort of input whatsoever, either now in this discussion or via email, is a recognition of the strongly useful and potentially effective nature of community working groups, balanced with a concern over the fact that there is not a clear structure or set of processes scoping out how these might work and operate in a commonly understood way. So really that, for me, is the objective of the work we're doing, is to try and pull together something which doesn't undermine their usefulness, but also recognizes the scope within the existing ICANN structures. And so to that end, we were provided with some helpful information at the last council meeting, which was, I think, I think it was Liz. I hope I'm crediting the right person there. You know, put out some information on the scope and what might be the scope and working practices for community working groups. So what I've done is I've threaded that into a draft, but ahead of all of that, started to look at things like what the objectives might be, some background and why the motivation for this work, you know, what the motivation is, and then to try and, through the drafting group, flesh out what the key questions, issues, or concerns are, and then take Liz's work that she presented to the last meeting as a potential way forward. The document as it currently stands is not in a sufficiently worked up format, I didn't feel. It doesn't cover enough of the inputs to be circulating as a draft at this stage, but I think we're on target to produce something of reasonable substance. I don't want you to expect anything. I want to manage your expectations ahead of Singapore. As was predicted, everyone's busy. I've had a few good contributions from the group and to try and do this. So we will present something in written form to be worked at, to be looked over and discussed at the Singapore meeting. And I think that's where we're at. To be clear, the drafting group is myself, Rosemary, Wendy, Bill Drake, Jamie, Jeff Newman, and Tim. If anyone else would like to feed either directly into me or to that group any comments, any areas they feel strongly about strengths or shortcomings about this has been, by the way, community working groups have been done in the past, or indeed the opportunities they present, we've tried to do some kind of, to start to work up some kind of, you know, SWOT type analysis of it. Very, very open to input, but as I say, we'll work on producing something for you to read at or around our meeting, at and around our meeting in Singapore. So I think that's what I have to say, Stefan, and I'm open to comment or input now or online.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Christina has a question, and I'll put myself in the queue after her.
Jonathan, if you could just put a note that I would like to be part of the group, and a suggestion that I have, if it hasn't already been raised, is that I think one thing we've seen through both the Jazz and the Jig working group is that one provision in the charter that I think would have been very useful to have would be a provision that would dictate that the final report or the report that comes out of the working group cannot be sent to the board by any participating SO or AC unless and until it's been reviewed and acted upon by all participating SOs and ACs. And I think if we'd had that type of provision in there with regard to JIG, the IPC would have had the opportunity to really get into the issue to the extent that I think it wanted to, and obviously we didn't because we didn't want to hold things up, and there wouldn't have been that kind of worry about holding things up. And I think conversely or relatedly with what we're seeing with the Jazz Working Group, if we'd had that provision in the charter, and that it would be required in the charters of all the relevant SOAC working groups feeding into the bigger working group, you know, frankly, I think we wouldn't have all been dealing with the confusion as to, you know, who sent what to who when. Does the board understand that the GNSO hasn't acted on it? Has anyone bothered to tell the GAC that, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just think that that's a provision that really should be in those charters if no one else has suggested it at this point.
Yeah, that's very helpful, Christina. Thanks. And I think if I could ask that, I think Glenn is perhaps the manager of the list. I have no reservations about you joining it at this stage, so by all means come into the group and be on the list, and that would be great.
I'm just adding Christina at this moment.
Thank you. John, I see you and Rafiq both have your hands up. I'd put myself in the queue, so I'll just very quickly. Jonathan, just a couple of questions. I take it you're working with staff on this. I was wondering if you had already started or intended to look at any current bylaw disposition that there might be around this type of group. My memory is unclear on whether there's even a mention of community working groups in the bylaws at this stage, the ICANN bylaws. But I think it'd be interesting, possibly, for your group to have a look at the rules in place, if there are any, the framework of rules in place around these groups.
Stefan, that's helpful. Thanks. A couple of points, really. I mean, aside from the input at the last council meeting, I'm not aware that anyone from staff is either monitoring or involved in what we have done since then. So I'd welcome any staff input. I'm not sure if anyone's sort of notionally assigned to this or to that. I'd love that point to be answered.
Can I just step in there perhaps and help you out? I don't think staff has been assigned to your group because it's an informal discussion group in a sense. Liz has got a hand up. She may tell us if there's a resource there that's available or not. If there isn't, perhaps one of your solutions might be just to engage staff when you have a question of the kind that I just asked.
So, yeah, it's Liz. Definitely, both Margie and I will support that group, and we're just working out the making sure we're all on the distribution list, too, for these cross-working groups. And to answer the bylaws question, while this isn't an official answer, I do not think the bylaws speak to joint working groups in general, but, of course, the bylaws are very specific about policy development processes for both the GNSO and CCNSO and the rules that apply to working groups relevant to those policy development processes, which is why when I drafted this first cut at, you know, possible principles for the group to consider, one of the principles I think I put at the top was that these would apply to non-PDPs. As there are no bylaws, you know, other bylaws provisions would then come into play in the case of policy development.
But that's interesting. Let me just make sure I understood your response, Liz. A cross-community working group that involves an SO and an AC cannot work on policy development because it involves an AC. Is that?
No, I think they can certainly work on policy development. What they can't do is, you know, there is no PDP. So you could not exclusively develop policy via one of those groups. You could discuss policy matters, but then a policy recommendation would still have to follow a PDP process, say, following a recommendation that would come out of that group, in order for it then to become a consensus policy as we know it under the bylaws today. Does that help?
Mm. Well, I have to admit I'm still confused, and this is why this work is so important to me. I mean, it has been difficult in my role as chair to navigate the complete grey area around these groups as they're formed at the moment. So I have to admit I'm really looking forward to some more work being done on this. My basic understanding, and maybe that is that should be challenged and that is wrong, is that only two ICANN groups can work on policy development, can start a policy development process. That's the CCNSO and us. And these groups tend to blur those lines. But maybe, I don't have the full details.
Is a policy development matter. This is Liz again.
I'm sorry?
Not every matter is a policy development matter. You know, we as a community discuss many issues that are not technically policy development. So, as an example, the joint ESSAC GNSO group on internationalized registration data is a group of technical experts convened by the board to advise on whether it's feasible to develop technical standards for, you know, the suitability of a technical standard. Some of these groups have other purposes that are not strictly policy. But my point before was that there's nothing to prevent them from discussing policy matters But a policy recommendation that came out of that group would then still have to be referred to a SO or AC for a PDP in order to then become, you know, to be voted on by the SO and then the board to become a consensus policy.
You just said it would have to be referred to an SO and AC. That's the
or,
part I don't get.
Oh, I'm sorry, an SO. I meant an SO. So
okay.
It could be an AC that refers it to an SO. I'm sorry,
yes.
I misspoke there. Just an SO. Thank you,
okay.
Stephen, for correcting me.
No problem at all. That makes a, yeah, thanks for that explanation. It makes it a lot clearer. John, sorry to keep you waiting.
No, not at all. It was much of what was said was what had driven me to raise my hand. I'm very glad that Jeff, and I apologize for piling more stuff on your plate, Jeff, is on this effort. Because I think that there is quite a bit that comes out of the policy development process work team that is analogous and complementary to what, that's with an E, Christine, don't get crazy, complementary to what Christine said about making sure that we have the back end covered. I think that it's the front end that, in terms of the chartering of these organizations, if we are clear and precise in the chartering of the organization of the community work groups, then perhaps we won't have the kind of bifurcation, I guess would be a polite way to put it, that we have right now on the jazz.
Thank you, John. Rafiq?
Okay, so I heard that many times the Jazz Working Group mentioned in the discussion. Just wanted to first have clarification from Christina. So she thinks, maybe I am misunderstanding, only GNSO has to do chartering for the joint working group. And second, I don't see any problem if we have different charters for the same working group. It's just it's the working group has to deal with the different items, and they are not exclusive. And honestly, I think the GNSO Council is really too much worried about this cross-community working group. My perspective from the judge, we are trying to do many things. We had really facing many issues just because discussion about charters, which is not normal. And we are trying to overcome this. But I hope that the judge working group case don't be used in such way. And also for clarification, I think one of the reasons maybe for confusion for people is about the report. We sent the milestone report to our chartering organization, period. We didn't send to any other structure. So please let's stop this confusion. It had me and some other people to clarify this many times. I think I give a lot of explanation about that, and I hope that this confusion ceases. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rafiq.
Rafiq, do you want me to respond?
Yeah, sorry.
No, only because I'm actually about to drop off temporarily. I'm not entirely sure I understood your question, Rafiq, but what I was not suggesting is that only the GNSO can control the activities of a cross-SOAC working group. What I was saying is that in the future, we need to write into the charters, and if it's a multiple charter because one AC, the AC has got a charter and the SO has a charter, or whether it's a joint charter, whatever, that there's a provision in there that says the report that's generated by the working group does not get sent to the board by anyone, by any participating SO or AC, unless and until each participating SO and AC has gone through and completed its usual processes for acting on such a report. So, in other words, what that would have meant for the JAS is that AILAC would not have been able to send the report to the board because we hadn't finished acting on it. And similarly, we would have had more time to act on the JIG report because we knew that the CCNSO was still working on it. And the idea here is really just to avoid confusion as to what is the status of the report among the various participating SO and ACs. What does it mean that the AILAC has acted on it and the GNSO Council has not, and so on and so forth?
Christina, it's Jonathan. May I just ask a sort of further clarifying question there? If what you have described was set out in as part of the principles of operation of a community working group, that wouldn't then need to be specified in the charter in the way you describe, I assume. So if the work of this group leads to some broadly agreed principles of operation that include the clarification that reports should not go to the board prior to being dealt with by the chartering SOs and ACs, that would have the same effect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'd probably, just for housekeeping, you'd want to then put some language in the working group charter that the working group was following the principles, just so that you kind of link everything together. But sure, that would do the same thing.
Understood. Thank you.
And I would hope, Jonathan, that the work of this group that you're leading we could send that to the rest of the community and try and get some sort of formalized process going there, perhaps. I'm hopeful that we can participate in that effort. Tim's next.
That's a very, very good point there. And really, I mean, as I understand it, what we're trying to do is build a consensus within the GNSO such that we can then take that consensus out to others and try and bring them on board as well. And I guess in an ideal world, we would have achieved that consensus before Singapore and been inviting others to join us, perhaps in some form of workshop or, to talk around that consensus. And frankly, we're behind that, as you know, because we'll really only be... So we're one step behind where in an ideal world we would have been, but that will be as it is. So that's agreed. That's approximately the route it's likely to take.
Thank you. Tim?
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to clarify, because it hasn't been brought up so much today, but I've heard it a couple of times outside of today, and that is that, that the community working groups are important because they allow the entire community to participate. And, I just want to make it clear that ever since the BGC report regarding the restructuring of the GNSO Council, we've been working under the working group sort of concept for our policy development processes. And as a part of that, anyone is invited or accepted into those working groups. No one is kept out. So that would include anyone from any of the other stakeholder groups within the GNSO, from any of the other SOs and ACs, or anyone who may not be actively involved in ICANN at all right now. We haven't taken any steps to keep anyone out of those working groups. So from a perspective of participation, cross-community working groups have been in place at least since the council has been implementing some of the BGC's recommendations. So really what's different here is that it's a working group that has cross-community chartering organizations, so, multiple SOs or ACs that are chartering it, and that's where the difficulties really come in. So I just wanted to make that point. It's probably preaching to the choir here on the council, but I think it's good to have it on the record since I've heard that at least twice over the last couple of weeks. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Rafiq?
Yes. So just to I have some comments, especially to comment what Christina explained. So if I understand the charter of cross-community working group will include
a provision telling its sharding organization how to proceed for sending a report. I don't understand how it can be done at working group level. And also, my what I see how that will be coordinated. I don't see that as coordination. It's more like deadlock, because the problem that as I say that many SO AAC, maybe especially the GNSO, is taking too much time to act. So we are going to have a lot of time wasted just to coordinate for simple action. And honestly, I am seeing what it's suggested in a different point as an action plan to kill. Yes, I am saying killing the cross-community working group concept. So that's all my comment. Thanks.
Tim, did you still have your hand up?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I guess I didn't understand Christine to say that. What I understood was that a cross-community working group has multiple chartering organizations, and that what we should do is, you know, agree that across these organizations, that one of the principles under which we will operate is that we all have to act on the report from a working group before anything is forwarded to the board, giving all the chartering organizations an opportunity to act. So it's not asking the community working group to tell us chartering organizations what to do. It's agreeing ahead of time that this is one of the principles under which we're going to operate when we call a community working group. So if we can come to that agreement across all SOs and ACs, and I don't see any problem with that or why that should hamper any kind of progress.
This is Zahid, and I'd like to get into the queue.
Who was that?
Zahid.
Zahid, okay. In the queue now, I have Rafiq, Jeff, and Bill. Unless Rafiq, was your hand still up from the previous time?
Yeah, but maybe I want to point later, so it's okay.
Okay, so Jeff, Bill, and Zahid.
Yeah, I mean, we call it cross-community working groups. I think what we used to call it was joint working groups. And I don't understand why people don't understand the concept that a joint working group means that the entities that are joined should be acting jointly. In other words, one entity should not be able to take the work product of the joint working group and forward it to the board as their own until the other group has actually acted on it. I think that just makes sense when you talk about something being a joint deliverable. And I take a little bit of issue with the notion that the GNSO is just too slow to act. Yes, we're slow, but remember, in the we're slower than the ALAC, and God knows how, I don't know how their decisions are made, because it seems like their decisions are made even before the reports are actually sent out. In fact, I think the last one, the ALAC as a whole, made a decision to forward it to the board within a day or two after we received the report. So I'm not sure how that was even physically possibly done, but it was. I do want to note for the record that for the JIG group, we actually acted a month or almost a month earlier than the CCNSO. So, you know, while we may be slow, we're not the slowest, and we're slow for a reason. And that's when you do policy development, you need to consider everyone's viewpoint. And, you know, again, I'm really troubled by the fact that some people don't understand a joint group means you should act jointly. And if you don't like that, then don't form a joint group. And the ALAC could always form its own group and study the issue and invite others to participate, but completely under the ALAC rubric. If that's what they want, fantastic. If they want a joint group that is jointly sponsored, then you need to follow these basic principles.
Thanks, Jeff. Bill?
Just building off of what Jeff said, I understand the concern about keeping everything in sync, but at the same time, I can't help thinking that sometimes a little competition, in a sense, can be useful. Having different chartering organizations approaching things from different angles might help to stimulate, catalyze move things forward a little bit more than if you were to demand that everything be held up by both sides until everybody signs off completely in every way. And, you know, Christina mentioned the example of Jazz and said, well, you know, Jazz report wouldn't have gone forward. And I think, well, yeah, that's right. And then we would be in a situation where, you know, they're looking to launch the new round and all that, and there's nothing even being discussed in a serious way about supporting developing countries and other needy applicants. So, you know, while I understand the concerns, on a procedural basis, it sounds right that, you know, if something is chartered by two bodies, both should sign, cross every T, dot every I before anything goes forward. At the same time, you know, it's not like this experience, in my view, has resulted in a terribly bad outcome. In fact, one could argue that by having a little bit of divergence in the rates to which these things are moving, it kept things from deadlocking and going nowhere. So I'm not so convinced that it has to be quite that rigorous in terms of everybody having to be exactly at the same rate on the same page and so on.
Thank you. And next in the queue, I have Adrian. No, sorry, Zahid was first.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to support what Christina said because I think that the extent that this is going to be a joint working group, it is important also that those participating know what their terms of reference and what their mandate basically is, because they are representing effectively that particular organization, the GNSO, for instance, in our case. So I think it's not unheard of when we do business generally that when representing a certain organization that their scopes, TORs, and even their mandates are sort of laid out and set out. So I think that that's perfectly reasonable, and I would support that the approach being taken so that we don't end up having these conflicts that we've noticed now. That shouldn't stop joint working groups from going forward, but I think those safety measures have to be in place.
Thank you. Adrian.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, look, I'd like to, I think, pick up on Christina's point also, but also to agree with Christina's point, but to add a few things. First of all, I think it's important that the differentiation is made between what is a working group and what is a joint working group. There was nothing to stop the ALAC going about and putting together their own applicant support document and submitting that to the board on their own with their own timelines. And that may well have spawned the GNSO Council to want to go ahead and do something from the GNSO Council and achieve Bill's goal of providing some stimulus. I don't believe that a joint working group achieves that or should set to achieve that. I agree with Jeff Newman in that a joint working group is the work that is the result of that working group is joint and should be submitted as so, and only once it has the sign-off of those that established that particular working group. I also think that to follow on from the comments that the council is slow, as Jeff said, there is a reason for this. There is a number of different views within the council that all need to be taken into account, and therefore something that does come as a ratified document from the council should speak louder than anything that comes from any single stakeholder within ICANN because of the amount of ratification that must go on within the council. And I think that shouldn't be lost on this argument and is indeed well worth consideration. Finally, I think that all of this means nothing if the board don't understand the mechanism of the working group. If the board's going to act unilaterally to A, establish working groups, or B, to listen to the voice of independent parties within that working or stakeholders within that working group, then we're defeating the purpose. So I implore, however we resolve this, that it certainly gets passed up to the board to give them a full understanding of what we consider a joint working group, and that they adhere to the processes that exist within that. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Wendy is next.
Thanks. I just wonder whether we're adding so much process here that we're sacrificing too much speed and just inviting the board and other groups to route around the council entirely. And we need to find a way to be participating in discussions and having interim conversations before we've reached conclusions. And I think that one thing that we might add to this process is some clearer definitions of consensus and various points short of consensus when we can still engage with other groups and engage with the board even, because that's a place to clarify questions if we're all busy consensusing around something that doesn't actually match what the board is asking or what other SOs and ACs are talking about. It's useless that 6 months later we can announce we've consensused when that wasn't what they're currently interested in. So maybe we just need more interim ways of showing interest, conversation, and participating in discussion so that we don't lock ourselves out of vibrant discussions that are going on. And I think
thank
that
you,
the
Wendy.
Community working groups are a place that we need to be participating and not just setting rules by which we can't participate.
Thanks, Wendy. So, Jonathan, I think there's a lot there for your group to take in. I'm not surprised because we know how much discussion this has generated within our group in the past days, weeks, and months. So there was, I think there is a lot for you to do. Good luck in doing that.
Yeah,
I don't think there are any more comments.
Just one brief remark, if you'll permit me, please. I mean, actually, really, it's to say thanks. That's great, constructive, I think fairly complete input. I've made notes, as you might expect. The challenge is to try and weave this into a sensible discussion document. But I really appreciate the quality of the discussion and the input. So thanks again.
Thank you very much,
Stefan.
Yes, Rafid.
It was in the queue, but forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Those look like hands that have been left up, so please go ahead.
It's just a comment, and maybe that team can investigate it. Okay, if we have many SOA and AC, and each one has its own dynamic and it can take time, but is there any safeguard that can put as a provision to prevent that the process to be held up by one SO and AC, and then that may end that we don't have any action for a long time, and then it can really harm the work of cross-community working groups. Because I remember, for example, for the charter of JAS, I understand that takes time for discussion, but I think we spent more than 2 months to agree on the charter. So how I understand that we need a process, but how to make enough safeguard that the process to not be held by one of the SO and AC, because it's like giving it a veto right. Thanks.
Thanks, Rafiq. Jeff?
Yeah, I think the quick answer to that is, sure, the easy remedy is that you would have the SO that feels like it's being held up by the other SO. You give them the right to terminate the cross-working group, and you have that SO submit that position as the position only of that that advisory committee or supporting organization. So in this case, if it's the ALAC and the GNSO, and it's on the JAS group, and all of a sudden the ALAC has the feeling that the GNSO is deliberately holding this up, the ALAC vote as a group to terminate their participation in the joint working group and then immediately submit that position as their own position as opposed to a position of the joint group. you can never really be held hostage. You're just representing to the board or whoever you're submitting it to that this is now only the position of the individual SO or AC.
Just a quick reply to Jeff, but I don't think it's that what we can define as reaching consensus and working to reach it. So I think we need to find a better process than ask SO and AC to terminate the process because it's a bad precedent, and I think we need to be more positive. Thanks.
Thanks to you all. Any further discussion? Okay, let's move on to Rafiq. Is your hand still up?
I guess not.
Let's move on to item 7. This is an item on the inter-registrar transfer policy, the Part B working group that has published its final report. There's been some public comment. The group has considered the comments received, modified its report in light of those comments, and is now presenting its final report for our consideration. And there has been a proposal of a motion for discussion only at this stage that was put forward by Tim. Before we move into the discussion on this, I'd like to ask Marika to give the council a short update, please.
This is Marika. I can be relatively brief in that update because the working group has actually scheduled a detailed overview of the report and its recommendations for the council on Sunday, the 19th of June in Singapore from 2 to 2:45. So I can just give you a very maybe high-level overview of the recommendations. I think that comes back in the motion as well. And just to say very briefly that there is a total of 9 recommendations. 4 of those relate to changes or additions to the existing consensus policy, the IRTP. There are 2 recommendations that request a PDP or request an issue report. There's 1 recommendation that relates to the promotion of an ASAC report. 1 recommendation recommends to defer an issue to the UDRP PDP should one be initiated. And there's 1 recommendation that actually asks ICANN staff to develop an implementation plan relating to WHOIS status messages. So what I basically would like to do is just encourage you to review the report and the recommendations, and if possible, if you have any questions or comments, to share them with the working group ahead of the Singapore meeting so they can prepare accordingly and hopefully address any concerns or questions that you might have about the report. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you for being so brief, Marika. Do we have questions or maybe a few comments from Tim as proposer of the possible motion?
This is Tim. Two things, I guess, or 2 of the recommendations, I guess, that have me concerned. I don't believe we have, at least to date, we've kind of circulated, a summary of the recommendations in our stakeholder group, and the report's certainly been available. I think we've had maybe 1 comment or concern expressed about part of it that I think may have just been a misunderstanding about what was intended. So I think there's really only 2 recommendations that we have any concern about, and it's mostly me at this point, I guess. As I said, not too many of the other registrars have said much. But that's recommendations 8 and 9 because the impression I get from that is that they got so far along on the discussion, but then it kind of leaves, I think, more than I guess I'm comfortable with up to the staff to kind of come up with in the implementation plan, even to the point where I think some of what needs to be eked out yet is some aspects of the policy. That's my personal feeling. So that's 1 comment I would, like back to the working group, and also for the rest of the council on the stakeholder groups to perhaps take a look at and just make sure that they're comfortable with that. I might have an overreaction to that. I don't know. But those are the 2, I think, that need to be looked at the closest from my point of view. So if I were to, recommend anything today, I guess I would ask that those perhaps be that we accept the hard work they've done. A lot of the recommendations, I think, can be approved and we can begin to implement. Those two, though, I would like to see maybe a little more work done on possibly. So those are my thoughts.
Thanks, Tim. Does anyone want to comment? Now, Jonathan, I believe you had volunteered to possibly second the motion when it is made. And I made the point on the list that so far the motion is up for discussion only, so, and Tim made that point too. So once the motion is made, if it is made for the next meeting, and Tim, you will have to make that motion again for the next meeting if you wish it to be considered there, then I will ask you, Jonathan, if you are ready to second it. I will have to ask you again.
Okay, and I'll probably, in the meantime, just maybe, you know, look for any other responses or thoughts about recommendations 8 and 9, and if none, then likely we'll just reframe those as I indicated so that we have a complete motion, because I think that needs to be done somewhere.
Thank you, yeah. I do hope we can have that motion in Singapore if possible. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I will move to item 8. Now, Mary is unable to be on our call today, unfortunately, but she has sent a very comprehensive note to the list on explaining the various issues that Glenn and Mary, they've both been working very hard on this, so our sincerest thanks to them for that. And I know that there's been several conflicts to work out, issues to work out, lack of responses, and Mary has sent a note explaining most of those issues to the list. One of the things that I view is that on the Saturday, the first day of our weekend sessions, the last item currently that we have is our discussion with the board from 5:30 till 7. We have heard since then from the board secretariat that the board would like to have an informal, I think it's a cocktail session or something like that, with us. I do not have confirmation of that as yet, or actually, I think confirmation came in just a few hours ago, so we may have confirmation now, but so much is happening that that's not immediately clear. But so please, just to give you all a heads up, I know there'd been discussion about moving our informal dinner from the planned Sunday slot to Saturday, because that was easier for people. But we may now have, after that 7 o'clock, that meeting with the board that ends at 7 o'clock, a cocktail session, so that will probably not work. And we'll try and update you as soon as we can on those things. So far we would keep to the council informal dinner on the Sunday and hope that as many of you can make it as possible. And one of the things that I would like us to talk about during some of our informal sessions over the weekend in Singapore is the scheduling issues that we've seen in preparation for this meeting, which frankly have been extremely difficult, more difficult than anything I remember in recent years. I was helping out on the agenda before last year when Chuck was chair,
and it was easier than it seems to have been this time for Glenn and Mary. And a lot of that, I feel, is planning seems to have gone wrong. We get on the general meeting, ICANN meeting plan, we get a lot of things that are put opposite the council events, which are regular events. Our schedule does not tend to change that much from meeting to meeting, and now we're called upon more and more often to change our schedule because conflicts are arising with other meetings. So that's a worry for me. I do feel the GNSO is an important part of the work that goes on at an ICANN meeting. I think the standard schedule that we have is there to maximize the efficiency of that work, and I am not really comfortable with seeing that constantly banged about because of unforeseen conflicts with other things coming along on the agenda that are unexpected. So I hope we can discuss that during the weekend. As it is, I just wanted to give you a heads up on the situation for Saturday and Sunday evening. Also, if there is discussion here now on the topics, suggested topics for our three meetings, which are now cut down to two for the moment. I've yet to confirm the cancellation of the meeting with the GAC, but I think that's what Heather has requested. So we would just be meeting with the board and the CCNSO, and some suggestions for topics there have been put forward, and so I'm happy to say that that is moving forwards as well. Are there any questions or comments on that?
Stefan, this is Glenn.
Yes, Glenn.
May I just make two comments? The first is that we did get confirmation about the cocktails with the board. I know it came in extremely late and you may not have seen it, but
okay,
it was from Diane to say the board would like to invite the GNSO Council to cocktails following the meeting between the council and the board on Saturday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., location to be decided. I hope the council will still be available. Regards, Diane.
Okay, right. That's useful. So that, sorry, Glenn, that means that we could still, if people prefer, possibly have our informal dinner on the Saturday following that. Is that, would that work, do you think, Glenn?
And Mary, before she left, sent out a doodle, which is on the council list, to ask people their preferred days, and I have just looked at the latest results, and there are 10 in favor of the Saturday, and I think 7 or 8 in favor of the Sunday. So I know Adrian did at one stage say he was in favor of Saturday rather than Sunday, so that would add probably another person, 10, 11 people.
Yes, you're going to add me to Sunday,
night.
Glenn.
Okay, for the Saturday.
Yes, Saturday.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. So that's that, and so we might just want to take that into account. If people would look at that doodle and fill it in, then we would have a good idea, not only to see what day to be on, but also for Mary to know how many people to book for.
Thanks, yeah.
Thank you, Stefan, that's all.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. That's very useful. Yeah, if people could fill that doodle out. But if we are heading towards a preference for the Saturday, Glenn, do you think that would still work? I don't know what plans or what research you and Mary had done into a possible venue for the dinner. And if the fact that if we move from Sunday to Saturday, does that change things in terms of the availability of that venue or any other factors that may come into it? So do you think, you may not be able to answer this now, but do you think that if we have the informal dinner immediately after the cocktails with the board, so say starting at 8:30, would that still work?
I think that is what Mary has been planning on, Stefan, in case this did come up, that there was something with the board afterwards. So she is planning on that, to start it at 8:30 and to choose a venue that is quite near.
So Bill has just posted on the chat that Mary wouldn't be available on Saturday.
I saw that there was something that looked as though the non-commercial stakeholder group was out. Is that so, Bill?
She has a family thing, says Bill.
If you really want to talk about this on the call.
Nothing personal, but just to know if we can move ahead with the dinner or not.
She told me she's lined up a very good restaurant, but she's got a family thing and can't attend.
Oh.
So she wouldn't. So all I was saying is she wouldn't be able to play the host directing you all to which creatures to eat and so on. But that doesn't matter. I suppose it's okay. For me, Sunday's fine too, but I'll go either way.
Okay. Well, perhaps we can take this offline and wait until Mary is available to fill us in with the details, and perhaps. I mean, we would obviously much prefer to have the dinner with both vice chairs there, if possible. So,
Stefan, it's Adrian.
Yes.
I don't want to speak ill of our host, I love Mary, but Saturday and Sundays are both days that we consider that we will have either board or GNSO dinners on. They have been that way for a long, long time. So if Mary's chosen to put on a family event, that's at her discretion, and she's entitled to do so. I don't think we should necessarily change our behaviour to fit her in. If you say doodle one more time, I may wet my pants this morning.
You may have to explain what doodle means in Australian, but please don't do so now. Okay, that's duly noted, and I think we are, in preference-wise, on the doodle, Adrian, moving towards Saturday. So let's wait and see what the final results are and try and do the best we can. Any further comments? Okay. Let's move to any other business, which has actually become a bit moot because staff has asked several times if they could help with briefing papers that the council might require. They have not had much of an answer, as far as I understand, and I think now it's a bit too late for them to prepare those briefing papers if people require them. So. Am I wrong or right, Liz?
Really depends on what they are. We already are doing some briefings just for the, like the IRTP, the issues that we're going to be considering there. If there are other issues that, you know, we're very familiar with and can extract quickly from other documents and put something together, we will. Happy to do it, but, you know, the more esoteric or lengthy or obscure or technical they are, the harder that'll be. So I just implore you, if it is helpful, we're happy to do them. I know it was a request at the wrap-up session last time, just standing by for instructions.
Okay. Does anyone have any requests? Looks like that's not the case.
Okay, we'll be off to the beach instead.
I'm sure you will. Does anyone have anything further they'd like to discuss? In that case, we will adjourn 10 minutes early. Thank you very much for your participation, everybody. Have a safe flight out to Singapore, or drive in Mary's case. And I look forward to seeing you all there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thanks, Stefan. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Stefan.